What an awesome morning. Cookies. Saturday, the Salt and Light is making cookies. You may not have a chance to buy on Sunday. We may give it to the officers that are here to bless them. You know, they are going to make a decision whether what they're going to do with that. Now, last Sunday, if you are not here, you missed a very great teaching by Pastor Mike Keating. It's about thinking biblically, you know, with all these covets. And he also expressed the ACC position about vaccine. So if you miss it, please go to the Facebook and watch it and hear the sermon. It will help you. It will help you so that you find peace in your heart. We live in what? In faith and not in fear. Okay, this morning, turn to Psalm 29. This week, I was telling myself, oh, who is going to Song League this Sunday? And I found it was Jack. I said, I must tell him what I'm going to preach about so that he will select a song, you know. But I didn't have chance to tell him, you know. And I'm glad that today, you know, while he was leading, most of the songs that he led would have tied up with the sermon. And it's good to know that God is in the house. Amen. And he wants to speak to each one of us. Why don't we pray? Father, we want to thank you for your grace, for your love, for everything of who you are. We ask for your blessing upon each one of us as we open our hearts to your word, which is the most important thing in our life. You have said that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of your mouth. So, Lord, we thank you that we can hear your word, understand your word, apply your word, and be changed by your word. So, Lord, I ask, bless your servant as he ministers your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. So, Psalm 29. Psalm 29 is a psalm that most likely relates David's life as a shepherd in the field. And of course, when he is looking after the sheep, the day may start with bright, sunny, and nice. How many of you like that kind of day? Bright, sunny, and nice. You know, but later on, he saw the changing cloud. And as he saw the changing cloud, he could see that the storm is coming. And then he watched the storm. The storm hits the shore, the field, the mountain, and the wilderness. It's frightening to be in a storm. You know, not just a rain, but storm. But Psalm 29 is not just storm. It's storm with thunder and lightning. But when the storm is finished, the sky was clear and bright, and the air was clean and fresh. What can we learn about life's storm in Psalm 29? Psalm 29 is a psalm of praise. It's one psalm where David never asked God for help, for deliverance, for anything in return. It's a psalm that has got no request or petition. You know, asking God for something, no prayer list. Sometimes when we pray, we like to give God a lot of prayer lists. He has nothing of that. But it's a psalm that is a pure heart praise to God for who God is. And what was important about psalm in this Psalm 29, some of the psalm, David complained, you know that? Sometimes it's all right to tell God how you feel. But in this psalm, there is no complaint to God. There is no words that say, God, life is difficult or life is not fair. So, this morning, we are looking at Psalm 29 because this psalm is called the Thunderstorm Psalm. It's written by the sweet psalmist. David, the sweet psalmist, wrote this psalm and it's called the Thunderstorm Psalm. And he praised God for who he is. He praised God for the storm, And he praised God for a good outcome after the storm. He praised God looking up. And when he looked up, he said, God, you sit on the throne. I think that's one of some of our songs this morning. God, you reign, you sit on the throne. Then he praised God looking out. When he looked out, he saw the storm. And all the storm and with all the thunder, you know. And he saw the storm. He looked out at the storm that is on the earth. I think sometimes when we see such things is happening around our world or around our life, we wonder, God, where are you? But he looked out in the midst of the storm and he just said, God, you are on the throne. And the psalm finished. After the storm, he looked up again and he said, God is still on the throne. Say amen to that. So Psalm 29 is a great psalm because we can learn three actions, you know, from this psalm. The first action we can learn is before the storm. What to do before the storm? Storm will visit all of us. Sometimes storm comes to us personally. Sometimes storm comes to us through someone that is close to us. What would you prefer? The storm to come to you personally or to someone close to you? No matter what it is, it will still affect you. You know, as a parent, when you see your children going through a difficult time, it affects you. You know, and so the storm will come, you know, and there is a storm of health, storm of sickness, storm of finance. You know, sometimes the storm of job security. Some people are always afraid, will my job be safe? Then there's a storm of fear and uncertainty. One thing about storm, it will come suddenly, unexpectedly. And then sometimes you may be able to see a storm from a far distance. I think something is going to happen. Have you ever felt that way before? I think something is brewing, you know. And it's blowing towards you. And as it blows towards you, it comes maybe at a slow pace. But the pace is increasing and it's charging ahead to you. Like the storm of our current pandemic. With this lockdown and restriction, it's still over our head. We thank you. We thank God for our premier. Some of you may love him. Some of you may dislike him. You know. So what do you do before the storm? When all seems calm and peaceful before the storm, David called us to have an action of what? Praise. Praise. He said in verse 1 and verse 2, give unto the Lord, O ye mighty one. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. David said, we what? We give. We give to God, not to act to God. God give to us because we have lack. We have need. God has no lack. God has no need. God is self-sufficient. And God can never be exhausted or run dry. He has more than enough to supply all the needs that is in this world without running short of supply. Our God is not woo-woo or coast. They run out of what? Stock. They run out of supply. But they need to be restocked. Our God is self-sufficient. We give to him simply because we are acknowledging and recognizing who he is. That's why we give. So, David said, before the storm, give to God. Give to God what? Give to God praise. Praising God build our faith. You know, not only build our faith, it build our mental wellness. It build our perspective of who God is and what is happening with our life and our world. Praise is God's equation and God's factor for our life. In fact,
Praise is a very powerful restorative tool that restores our soul. You want your soul to be restored? Praise what? Praise God. It energizes our faith. It refocuses our affection. It realigns our priority. And it opens our spirit. When you praise God, it opens your spirit to who? To God. And the things of God. Praise connects us to God. Psalm 22 verse 3 says that He enthroned, He inhabits in the praises of His people. So David said, before the storm, have an action, have an attitude of always what? Praising God. Because when you praise God, it's a powerful tool against the enemy. The wall of Jericho came tumbling down because Israel praised God. The wall of depression and despair and frustration and failure and hopelessness. And even if you feel sad, if you feel blue, don't feel that way. Just what? Just praise God. Because when you praise God, they will come tumbling down. Chains are broken and doors open when Paul and Silas praise God in the prison cell. I want you to know, your chains can be broken when you praise God. New doors can be opened to you when you praise God. So before the storm comes, what is the thing to do? Have an attitude and action of praising God. Praise God for everything. Every day, praise God. Every minute, praise God. When things go well, praise God. When things don't go well, praise God. Every time, praise God. When your wife makes you angry, praise God. You know, and another translation tells that before the storm comes, another translation used the word honor God. To honor God before the storm. And it means what? To have respect, to have an esteem. And you look in the word honor, in the Hebrew, the word fear of God in the Hebrew has very close connection with the word honor. Because when you fear God, means you honor Him, you reverence Him, you respect Him, and you stand in awe of God. This morning when we worship, was there a moment where you say, wow, God, you are God. Honor Him. You know, and the Bible tells us, honoring God is the whole duty of man. We are created in His image, not for ourselves, not for self-living, not for self-glory. We were created in His image to bring glory to God. So before the storm, the Bible tells us, honor God. The word honor is the same word for glory in Hebrew, means kabod. It means what? To give weight. To give weight to. When you honor something, means you give weight to something. You put some value on it. You put priority on it. You put importance on it. So the Bible said, before the storm come, praise God and honor Him because God is worth every cent, every breath of your life. Honor Him. That's the whole duty of man. If you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, this is how the Amplified Bible put it. All has been heard. The end of the matter is fear God. What does it mean to fear God? Reverence, honor, and worship Him, knowing that He is, and keep His commandment, for this is the whole of man, the whole duty of man, the full and original purpose of His creation. The object of God's providence and the root of character, the foundation of all what? Happiness. You want to be happy? Honor God. You know? And the adjustment of all harmonious circumstances and conditions under the sun and the whole duty of every man. Simple scripture says this. One verse. If you can just learn, you'll find peace, harmony, and wellness for your heart, for your life. Honor God. Honor God before the storm. We honor God for who He is. He is present, ever-present, ever-working. We honor Him because He is a creator, He's a sustainer, He's the provider, He's the protector, He's the life-giver who has created us, not for ourselves. He has created us for Him. And He deserves honor from His creation. Honor God. Israel, a people called by His great name, forgot to honor God. In Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, this is what God said. A son honor his father, and a servant respect his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. So Israel, they did all the right thing, all the religious acts to the very details and the very dot. They did all them, but one thing was missing. What was it? They had the lip service, but not what? Not the heart. If you want to honor God, it's not the lips, it's the what? It's the heart. It's the heart. And they did everything, but something was missing. It was heart. And so God was not pleased with him, with them, because God had chosen them, loved them, take care of them. And they said that they are the people of God. But their heart attitude and worship display a dishonor to God. Now, what happened to Israel can also happen to any one of us. Have they forgot and got caught up in their personal affair and forgot to honor God? Sometimes we can be so busy with who? With ourselves. And we forget about God. He has first place in our life. You know, our theme this year is follow who? Follow me, follow Jesus. Jesus honored the Father. In John chapter 8, verse 49, for I honor my Father. I challenge you to live your life honoring God with your whole being, with the best, and with your worship before the storm. Because this is what God promised to those that honor Him. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, He said, I will honor those who honor me. Say amen to them. That is God's promise. I honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me. Our first action before the storm is in verse 1 and verse 2, is to give to God praise and to honor God. For what? For His strength, His glory, His name. His name reveals His character, His beauty, and His holiness. One thing about praising God and honoring God, when you have this action and this attitude, you are doing it upward. But something is happening where? Inside of here. What is happening? Well, when you do that, your emotional tank is being filled up. You know, sometimes we can run out of emotional tank. How many of you experienced that before? But honoring God and praising God fill up your emotional tank. It fill up your spiritual tank. You know, and this tank of faith or of hope and love is filled up so that you are prepared and ready to sail through. Because when you honor God, you will come to a place of fullness, a place of wellness, and a place of healthiness. And then you are ready, ready to sail through the storm when it comes. Before the storm, David said, praise God and what? Honor God. Let's look at action number 2. In the storm. Look at verse 3 to verse 9. The voice of the Lord echoes above the sea. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunder over the mighty sea. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the mighty cedar, and the Lord shatters the cedar of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon mountains skip like a calf. He makes Mount Hermon leap like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strike with bolts of lightning. The voice of the Lord makes the barren wilderness quick. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists mighty oaks and strips the forest bare in his temple. Everyone shout what? Glory. So, David, looking after the sheep in the field, experienced a change of weather. A change of weather. This beautiful, clear, and sunny sky turned to gloomy, wet, and stormy. Can weather get you down? They say that gloominess increases suicide. But I want to let you know, yes, weather can get you down. But when you have built your emotional and spiritual tank in praising God and honoring God, then whatever happened around your world is not going to affect you, because you are what? Well in your soul. So, what to do in the storm? When the storm hit, like David, we look for what? When storm comes, what do we look for? Shelter. Shelter. We look for shelter. And the shelter that David could only find could be a cave or a small hut. But this is what David said. Whether it's a cave or the small hut, David has acknowledged that where he is, there is where God is. That is important. David had acknowledged that he is never alone. Where he is, God is. Do you realize that? Where you are, God is there. God is ever present. That he is never alone. And so that when he recognized that in the midst of the storm, when he looked for a shelter, where he is, God is also there. He turned that place, a place of shelter, to be a temple. God's dwelling place. And the place to praise God. And so in verse 9, he said, and in his temple, everyone say, glory! Is it not wonderful that whatever that is happening in the world, that you can find shelter in your God? And when you find shelter in your God, he is there. And you can still praise him and say, glory to God. Like David, we can make Psalm 91 to be the shelter of praise. Praise to God for what? For his protection and presence in the storm. You are never alone. Psalm 91 says, those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I will declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge. Say amen. He alone. Because sometimes we try to look to men. But God alone is our refuge. My place of safety. He is my God and I trust him. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his feather. He will shelter you with his wing. His faithful promises are your armor of protection. God, when storm comes, I'll find a shelter. And who is that shelter? You are my shelter. When you become my shelter, it's a shelter of protection and shelter of your presence. And my heart can sing out, majesty, glory to God. Signs tell us that light travel faster than what? Sound. We see lightning before we hear thunder. So David saw the lightning over the Mediterranean Sea. Then the storm broke and moved across the land. We can be affected by what we see and neglect to what? To hear. How many of you realize that? Seeing the storm causes anxiety and fear. By hearing the word builds what? faith. Many times we see, but we don't want hear.
Above all that David saw, he heard the voice of God in the storm. So I want to let you know, in the storm, do not get disturbed, fearful, or troubled by what you see, by what is happening around you, but rather hear what is God saying to you. Hear what is God speaking to you. Look at this pandemic. It's a storm, but God is speaking to you. God is speaking to the church. God is speaking to the world. But do we hear the voice of God? The disciple in the storm, they saw the fearful storming wind. They were fearful and they were troubled even to death until they hear the voice of who? The voice of the Master. They said to the storm, be still. Do not allow the things that is happening outside there to trouble your soul and your heart. Hear what the Master, what the Lord is saying. Can you hear the voice of God in the storm? Because that voice of God is the voice of authority that control nature. But it's also the same voice that speaks through the written word of God. A saying to you. As you read the Bible, you must bow to the authority of the word and accept what the Bible tells you to believe and to do. Not just see, but hear. Before Psalm 29 was written, centuries ago, God's people had been given this promise. God promised them if they would diligently hear the voice of God, they will be protected and preserved. God already told them, if you hear my voice, in Ezra chapter 15, verse 26, if you will listen carefully to the voice of the Lord, your God, and do what is right in His sight, obeying His commandment and keep all these decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent to the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Before that, God already said, look, Israel, if you hear me, I will protect you. So, in Psalm 29, God's 7 times in 11 verse, the voice of God is mentioned. The voice of God is mentioned. He's above the surface of the earth. That means He's above the sea. And this is according to Genesis chapter 1. God's Spirit moved on the face of the earth. And when He spoke, order came into the world. Today, amidst troubled water, it is not a bridge over troubled water that you need. It is what? It's to hear the voice of God that comes to troubled water. That's what you need. His voice is powerful, like thunder, clear and loud. Yet many cannot hear because other voice, like the voice of fake news, controversy, fear, pressure seeking, you know, and doing your own things and doing what is right in your own eyes, drown the voice of God. The voice of God is majesty, full of majesty. Remember, we used to sing the song Majesty. Worship His Majesty. Majesty means what? Greatness. That the voice of God is full of greatness because He is above all other gods. He is above all storms. He is God and there is none other like Him. So instead of seeing the storm, hear the voice of the majesty God. His voice breaks and shatters the cedar. Break is to crush and to destroy. The cedar of Lebanon is the strongest and the biggest tree
in Lebanon, yet it cannot stand the voice of God. I want you to know that when God's voice is spoken, chains will be broken, garment will collapse, pride will tumble, market will be shaken. This is what happened when God stepped into our world. She bring her to her knee so that she recognized she is not God, but who? He is God. That the strong, the rich and mighty is not God. Who is God? He is God, the only true and living God. Then the voice of God shakes. What can be shaken will be shaken. Our world has been shaken by COVID-19. It's only the start. More is coming. You hear the latest news. A new one has come out. You know, and this is not a doom and gloom. To us who know God, what is happening in the world, just tell us that the Bible is what? True to its very core. Amen? It's true to its very core. You better hold on to the Bible, believe the Bible. I like the song we sing, We Believe. But when you are saying, We Believe, I was standing there, I was saying, I believe. Because I tell you, there are something that cannot be corporate. Something has to be personal. I believe. It confirms that the Bible is true to its core. This is what Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 12, verse 26 to 28 said. But now he makes another promise. Who makes that promise? God make the promise. God make the promise to the earth. He said this, once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heaven also. But that verse tells us, only the kingdom of God is unshakable. His voice divide or cut. His voice is able to divide between truth and error, truth and false, genuine and counterfeit. I know I tell you today, you can buy some of those, upmarket handbag, you know, which is counterfeit, but it looks so real. But God is able to, His voice is able to separate them and divide them and cut between genuine and counterfeit, between flesh and spirit, between goat and sheep. Because His cutting and dividing voice, according to Psalm 29, is like bolt and lightning that strikes the heart. That's why in Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when they hear the word preached by Peter, this is how they respond. Now, when they hear this, they were cut to the heart and say to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? The word of God is not spoken to bring condemnation, say amen. The word of God is spoken to bring freedom. And one part of freedom, it must cut that which is not from Him. Then lastly, the voice makes. The thundering and loud voice of God can make one to skip and bring forth birth of life and hope. Three times the word makes is used in this chapter. The weary are refreshed, the weak are strengthened, the dead are quickened, the hopeless are inspired, the lost are found. What is meant for evil is turned to good. How can this happen? It's the making of God, and no one else can make it happen except who? God. This morning, no matter what storm is in your heart and life, find a place. A place of shelter to praise God and hear His voice. And I think sometimes we need to turn off our smartphone. A very touchy subject. Turn off the smartphone. Some people say, I cannot turn off the smartphone. I tell you, if you cannot turn off your smartphone, means the smartphone is smarter than you.
We must be able to turn off the smartphone and turn off the TV, the internet, the Google search, the YouTube, you know, and just have a quiet time with God who say, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Exalt your Lord higher and greater than your storm. Hear the voice of God and the voice of help and hope. Shelter in your God. And when you are sheltered in your God, then you can able to shout glory and majesty to your God in the midst of your storm. Now, the third action, after the storm. How many of you are glad to be after the storm? Oh, I tell you, when you go to a difficult time, when it's over, say, I'm glad it's over. Then you see another dark sky coming. A dark cloud coming. But what do you do after the storm? This is one. Thank God, storm comes and go. Storm today, come tomorrow. And sometimes when the storm comes, it may look terrifying. Like if it's out of control. But it's never so. Because God sits on the throne. He controls heaven and earth in his hand. So, of all the storm that hits our world, nothing is like the great flood in Noah, Genesis 6. 40 days and 40 nights. Yet God knew how to keep those in the ark safe and sound. And when they came out of the ark, their first response to God was to build an altar to God. The Lord enthroned in the flood. No matter what storm, God is still God. He still sits on the throne. Like this pandemic, it comes. It seems like going away. You know, oh, going to have border open and now they are closing to some other country. It seems like going away. It seems like it's being blown away. But then it comes back with greater intensity. But I want to let you know, it will not last. It will end. When? Only God knows. Till then, find God to be your shelter and make him your shelter. Praise him and honor him and hear what he's saying to you and what he is speaking to you. So, verse 11 to verse 12, David experienced, and it's the same promise given to all of us as his children, that the people of the Lord will be saved even in great storms. Say amen to that. Verse 11 and verse 10 and verse 11 is an assurance that no matter what storm comes, you are not going to die. God's people will be saved. You will learn from me. You become stronger. You become wiser. And you become sharper. When the storm ends, like David, you know, he saw God is what? On the throne. I tell you one of the time when I was flying from Singapore to Tokyo, I experienced one of the worst storms on the plane. I don't know about you, we are in such a flight. You tell yourself, this is the last time I'm going to fly. It was so bad that the captain asked, get into your seat, fasten your seatbelt, we are bringing the plane higher. One time. After a short while, he said, we are bringing the plane higher. Twice. After flying again, he said, we are bringing the plane higher. I hear him say, we are bringing the plane higher, five times. And I was wondering, any more higher, we'll be in heaven. And I tell myself, God, I won't fly. I don't think I want to fly anymore. My first thought was this. What kind of pilot that is? Maybe he's a Second World War pilot. You know, a kamikaze pilot. You know, that's what. At the same time, when I was flying out on, this was on Thai Airlines. A friend of mine was also flying to Japan. He was on Singapore Airlines. And then when I
reached Tokyo, I tell you, the sky was so clear. This is what happened after the storm. The sky was so clear, the air was so fresh. And I asked my friend, hey, you didn't go through all that? He said, no. SIA decided to stop overnight because the storm in Hong Kong. And I was able to continue the journey. So what do you do in the storm, after the storm? After the storm, David saw God is still on the throne. He saw God on the throne before the storm. He saw God in the midst of the storm. He is still on the throne. After the throne, after the storm, God is still on the throne. God is there 24/7. He's always there. He does not slumber or sleep. He's always in control. And he is actually fact orchestrating every event for his purpose. David acknowledged God sits on the throne as king forever. He reigns forever, not just in this storm or the next storm, not in David's lifetime or in our lifetime. He reigns forever as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he can never be replaced. Amen. So David, after the storm, he saw, wow, God, you have always been there. How many of you realize that when you go through a tough time, difficult time, you come through, actually felt you were never alone. God is always there. You remember the picture of walking in the sand from 2 footprint to 1 footprint? And I've heard her ask, where were you, Lord? He said, I was carrying you. God is always there. And so David closes this thunderstorm psalm with double blessing. The first blessing, that God will give strength to his people. Say amen. That in the midst of storm, you look up, God said, I will give you strength. When your strength is not sufficient, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength will make perfect in you. Say, God said, I will give you strength. And then he said the next thing, I will bless you with peace. God will bless his people with peace. The Lord rules over the flood water. The Lord reigns as king forever. The Lord gives his people strength, and the Lord blesses them with peace. This morning, God is in control over the storm. He knows how much burden or pressure you can take or bear. No use worry or be fearful. Find a shelter. Find a shelter and give praise to God. Honor him and hear his voice, because God is sovereign over the storm. If you trust him, the storm will bring glory to his name. If your life is stormy now, my answer to you, my advice to you is worship him and hear his voice. The storm will pass, and he promised, this is his promise, that he will give you strength and he will give you peace. Can I say the promise of God of strength and peace is not after the storm, it's in the midst of the storm. He is your strength, your refuge, your fortress. He is your shelter. And then he is your what? He is your peace. Can I have the worship team to come this morning? Thank you, Lord. This is the first time I preached Psalm 29, and the first time I heard Psalm 29 been preaching. But it's a very powerful psalm. It's a psalm for each one of us before the storm, amidst the storm, and after the storm. Brother Jack, would you stand up? and sing with me.